feel like we're just ready to go home at this point. I've heard so many good testimonies of things that the Lord has done in the lives of our students and our leaders. We've worshiped in spirit and truth. We've heard the message of Romans 5 read over and over again. And so here I am to just repeat a lot. First of all, I want to thank you, church. Thank you for entrusting us with your children. Thank you for seeing fit to give generously of your finances and your prayers. Thank you to those who were leaders for us, who invested a week of their life, some at some significant cost, to be here with our students. You heard this morning that Corey Fulford got off of a plane on Sunday from Africa and then met us in Shaco Springs the next day to spend a week with teenagers. I'm encouraged at your affirmation in our youth ministry. I know that I have dear friends who do not feel the same way in their congregations, and so I don't want to take that for granted. I also want to thank my wife, Whitley, for all of her help, because Lord knows we would not have left the building on Monday if it wasn't for her, as well as for Raisha and for Maggie, our youth secretary. They were top-notch and extremely helpful in all things. As you heard, we had the privilege of going to Shaco Springs for Student Life Camp, and I don't want to belabor that point. And although you've heard many things from our students and one of our leaders, I just want to take some time to recap a couple of things that we learned from God's Word, because one of the things that we heard over and over again is that what we learn about who God is and what we learn about His Word is not just a privilege, but it's also a stewardship. And so when you and I, as believers, hear things about our Savior and we learn new truth about who our God is and what it means to be a follower of Jesus, we now have a stewardship to go and proclaim that news. And so I want to model that because we've learned a lot, and I think it may be beneficial to you as well. So you've heard the theme verses for the week, Romans 5, 1 and 2. I just want to start by reading that one more time. He says, "Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through Him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God." So through the gospel, you and I have access to the Holy One of Israel. Before, because of our sin, there was a wall between us and our Creator. We wanted nothing to do with Him. We were dead in our sins. But God, being rich in mercy, pursued us in His Son, Jesus Christ, who lived, died, and rose from the grave for our salvation. And now, because of the gift of grace, we who were far off have been brought near to our Lord, who is our Father. That's how we started camp. And I was so thankful that we started this way because Landon, our camp pastor, wanted to make sure that we had clarity on the gospel. Why? Because if we don't understand the gospel, all the things we're going to talk about this week are not going to make much sense, right? That we could not earn right standing before a holy God, and yet He brought righteousness to us in His Son in exchange for our sin. We learn from Hebrews chapter 10 that access to God should fuel our adoration of and actions for God. And because access has been granted to a relationship with God, we can now live as He intended us to for His glory. We learn from Romans chapter 12 that the gospel changes how you and I relate to God, our Christian brothers and sisters, and the lost world around us. Because we've been redeemed by God, we now offer ourselves to Him as living sacrifices. We long to be holy, not because we're trying to earn God's favor, but because we've already received it. And so we submit ourselves to be transformed by the Word of God. Landon said, and I quote, "A mind that is captivated by Christ will produce a body that is yielded to His purposes." So do you want to be more faithful in your daily life? Here's the solution. Know the Word and obey His will. As Christians, we're also ministers of reconciliation. So we use our gifts and we invest our lives in the body of Christ. We serve one another and have responsibilities to keep as members of this new family. And this question stood out to me that he asked. He said, is your faith family blessed by your obedience to use your spiritual gifts, or are they burdened in your refusal to use your spiritual gifts? And that hit me hard. Even as a pastor on staff of this church, I'm asking myself, am I a burden because I've refused to use gifts that God has given me for the sake of the bride? It's something for all of us to consider as we think about how we stir one another up to love and good works. And what we know about the gospel and God's word is not just a privilege, like I said, but it's also a stewardship. So we must do something with this message we've received. We must do something with this treasure that we've now been given. And so we know that there are billions of people today in our neighborhoods and around the world that do not know Jesus. And so just a funny story. It's not funny, it's providential. Miss Val Gresham was in our group of leaders, and she came to me a couple of weeks before camp. And the theme was access, and so we kind of already had the Bible study material, and she was looking over it, and kind of no small talk, no chit-chat, she came right up to me and said, hey, I need a contact for whoever works at Student Life because I need to tell them that they should change their curriculum for the camp. And I said, okay, what do we need to do? And she goes, you know, the theme is about access, but what about those people who don't have access? And I'm thinking, well, I'm not even surprised at all that you're having this conversation with me, that you want so much for us to keep in mind the lost and the unreached. And so I gave her a contact and let her email somebody, and she was promptly neglected and was not responded to at all. And yet the first night we get together and Landon begins to teach, but before he teaches, he says, I want us to pray. And so he asks all the students to get on their knees and pray, and he's guiding us through some prayers. And one of the last things he asks us to pray for is, he says, we're at a camp that's talking about access and how we have much access, but right now I want us to pray for teenagers like you all around the world who have never had access, and pray that one day you might be the kind of people that would go to them and proclaim this news to them, that they might have access. And so I just start laughing. I look over at Whitley and I'm like, are you kidding me? And all throughout the week, right, we prayed for those with no access. We considered sponsoring children through Compassion International, one of their partners, and we gave of our finances towards Access the 99, which is an initiative through the International Mission Board, focusing on reaching those people groups with no access to the gospel. So something that we thought was not going to be covered at all was actually permeating throughout the week. The prayers of a righteous woman availeth much. We learn from Ephesians 1, 3 through 14, as Charlie said earlier, who we are in Christ. And he walked through all of those beautiful truths, things like we're adopted, we're loved, we're forgiven, we're redeemed, we're lavished with grace. We learn from Hebrews 3 and 4 that we will fall short. And you heard some of our students say this. They recognize that perfection is a future reality for us, but in this life, we still war with the flesh. We still fall short of the glory of God. But God has given us his spirit to overcome temptation and sin. And so Landon said one of these phrases that I thought was so helpful. He said, sin wants you to take risks that are never worth it. But the gospel calls us to take risks that are always worth it. And so part of the Christian life is for us to gather together as believers and remind one another, hey, that temptation that you want to fall into is never worth the risk. But this gospel that we proclaim and this great commission that we've been sent out to complete is always worth the risk. He gave us some warnings to see in our own lives, looking at 2 Samuel of the story of David and Bathsheba, that I think are helpful for all of us. So when tempted to sin, if you and I don't run to Jesus, more often than not, we will run to sin. And so when I'm tempted, is the cry of my heart to go to Jesus, or is the cry of my heart to lean into my temptation? When we conceal our sin rather than confess it, we will most likely commit more sin. And then though God is displeased with our sin, it doesn't mean he's done with us. He will never leave us, never forsake us. Why? Because while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He chose us and adopted us into his family at our worst, not at our best. And so there's nothing you and I can do to make the Father's hands let go of us. We are his forever. And you heard Charlie say this phrase earlier, but those whom God reconciles, he will never release. That's good news for us. We learn from Romans chapter 5 that God will always remain faithful and we will never be forsaken as believers. Why? Just listen to these truths that sometimes we forget. We have been justified by faith. We stand before God righteous. We have been brought into and will stand forever in God's grace. Our salvation, our eternal life, our new life in Christ is entirely a work of God's grace. He wants us to rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. God will always lead us to rejoice in the good news that we have in the glory of God. As you heard Jonathan say earlier, God uses our struggles to refine our faith, not to remove it. And you heard a masterful sermon this morning on the power that God uses suffering in our lives to produce great, great things. God has poured his love into us. He set his affection upon us, right? He could be holy and good and still not love, but he decides in joy to set his affection on you and me. He has given us his Holy Spirit, sealed as a guarantee of our inheritance. He loved us, and Christ died for us at our worst state, not at our best. Philippians 1:6, he always completes what he starts. We were talking about this morning with the youth in Sunday school. That what confidence do we have in this life knowing that he who began a work in you will bring it to completion? That God is not done with us. And that God leads all who he reconciled to rejoice in him. Because God is with us and he isn't going anywhere. But he has given us one another to grow in Christ's likeness together. And so Landon challenged us this week at camp, youth and leaders, to run towards discipleship. And not to think that we're not spiritual enough or not equipped enough or not able enough to actually pour our lives into someone else and be poured into. You heard Charlie say earlier that the goal of discipleship is not for believers to see us perfect in the gospel, but progressing in the gospel. None of us have achieved perfection in this life. And that's not what discipleship is about necessarily. Discipleship is about seeing the work of Christ manifest in a person's life through the work of the Holy Spirit so that we see, man, I'm not the kind of person I was a year ago. Man, I'm not the kind of person I was 2 years ago. And we can look at somebody that we're discipling and say, you're not the person you were a year ago. Praise God for his faithfulness in your life that's growing you and transferring you from one degree of glory to the next. I wish I would have followed that when I was in junior high. Like as a seventh grader, I wish I would have got that. That there are ways for me now to be invested in that will save me not only so much heartache, but will give me so much benefit in this life. And finally, Landon ended the main sessions with a challenge. To live for a greater calling, as you heard Charlie mention. And last week, we remembered D-Day. A time of remembering those who gave their lives for the freedom of their kinsmen. And as we thought about those things, Landon called us to remember also that missionaries around the world are giving their lives for an even greater freedom. And so from Acts chapter 20, our students learned that they are the plan for their schools to know Christ. They are the plan for their friends to know Jesus. They are the plan for their future coworkers to come to know Jesus. Why? Because as members of the church, they are the strategy for the lost coming to believe the gospel. This is not something that's left to ministers. This is not something that's left to pastors. This is not something that's left merely to career missionaries, although all of those people should be doing these things. But all of us have been given the ministry of reconciliation. All of us have been given the task to complete the Great Commission. And so we left with four big actions to take with us for the rest of our lives. And Charlie mentioned these, but I just want to mention them one more time. He said, first, we need to live for Jesus because he is our supreme treasure. And we live for him in humility and through tears as we think of the lostness around us, just like Rachel testified earlier. And we live for him in trials that the world, our flesh, and the devil will throw at us. But we are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. Second, we proclaim Jesus, right? The gospel is a message that requires proclamation. And so you and I as believers will share who God is, how man fell into sin, what Jesus has done about it, and how we must respond. We must not let the fear of man paralyze us from being faithful. Third, we follow Jesus wherever he leads. Because he may call some of us to difficult, remote lifestyles. He might not. He may call some of us to extreme persecution, He might not. The reality is, the spirit of the age longs for us to believe that satisfaction will be found in safety, in ease, and in comfort. But there is nothing safe, easy, or comfortable about the cross of Christ. But it is in following Jesus that we will find supreme joy. And finally, we love Jesus more than we love ourselves. He is worth giving up everything. He is worth being persecuted for. In His presence, there is fullness of joy. And at His right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. So church, that's in a nutshell what we learned at camp. And we could spend another week unpacking all of the wonderful truths from God's word that we learned. But it's truth that we all need to know and believe and rest in. And so tonight, there may be some of us in this room who know about the gospel of Jesus, but have never surrendered their lives to it. And so in just a moment, like we do every week, we'll have a time of response as Adam and the band will come to sing. And so the question for us tonight is this: will we harden our hearts to the truth that we are sinners in need of a Savior? Or will we flee to Jesus and obtain rest for our souls? Believer, unbeliever, those who are struggling with their faith and those who are confident in their faith, when the gospel is proclaimed, it demands that we respond. And so I pray that the Lord leads you to respond in faith. Let's pray together. Father, you have been so kind that in love you made a way for those who were traitors, slaves to sin, to have access to you once again. That through Christ you have broken down the wall that separated sinners from the holy place. That when Jesus cried, "It is finished," the wrath of God was absorbed. And all that was left for us in Christ is righteousness and blessing. So God, I ask you tonight, by the power of your Spirit, would you help us to hear the truth and the beauty and the majesty of your word and respond in faith? That you would even now draw sinners to repentance, and even now comfort those who are struggling. Even now would you convict those who are falling into sin? Would you call every one of us to long for holiness, to long for righteousness, and to look forward with our eyes heavenward at the day when you will make all things new. Until that day comes, God, remind us of the access that we have in Christ. Remind us of who we are as your sons and daughters. Help us by your Spirit to give you the praise you deserve. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Won't you stand? We sing together.